So, this parable, we've heard it before. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful parable because it teaches us about God's plan, how God operates in the world, but also the reality of kind of our own spiritual lives, and how we can have what Jesus calls the abundant life. John chapter 10, verse 10. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. This is important because I think some of us, we grew up in our faith and we don't understand what's the big deal. Perhaps we come, you know, in our faith and we've never experienced what Jesus talks about, that abundant life. And so at a later time, we kind of just give up on that. Not recognizing maybe I have a soil in my heart that has not been receptive to the word. Or I haven't understood how to till the soil of my heart to bear that abundant harvest. And so my only understanding of Christianity might be just very limited and just some rules or something like that. That's not. Jesus wants more for you. He wants an abundance. He wants something really good for you to know what it is to be secure in the Father's love, what it is to experience connection in the body of Christ, and to know that you are gifted by the Holy Spirit. That's the vision I've been sharing with the parish, that every parishioner would be secure in the Father's love, that every parishioner would know they are radically connected in the body of Christ, and every parishioner would know that they are loved by God the Father. So, in this, I wanted to look at three things. God's initiative and generosity. Our own journey of faith. So God's initiative, our response, and the hurdles to get there, right? What do I mean by that? Well, when we look at the things of faith, you have to understand that, like, God is the one who initiates. That's what first reading says. Thus says the Lord, justice from the heavens, the rain and snow come down and do not return till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, right? You and I have no control over the rain. You know, we can deceive ourselves that even with our technology, but at the end of the day, we are largely out of control of the weather and things like that. So the same with the faith. God is the one who initiates. And I love in this parable that he is generous with the word. The sower doesn't selectively choose the fruitful soil only, but he scatters over all hearts. The Lord gives generously even if we're not ready to receive it. Even if we're not ready. He doesn't wait for you to get your act together. And that says something in the initiative, but also, like, God is loving us even when we feel distant. Okay, that's the first thing. But the second thing is that faith is not a guarantee. Like, what does it mean when Jesus says that when the apostles are explaining, you shall indeed hear but not understand, you shall indeed look but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, but they see and hear and understand and be converted. So for an explanation of this, I heard a talk by Father Mike Schmitz. I've been mentioning this talk for the past couple of weeks. And in this talk, Father Mike was explaining this. He said the nature of the parables is they give enough light that if you want to see, you will. But the parables have enough shadow that if you don't want to see, you won't. Does that make sense? That means faith is not forced. Faith is not automatic. Okay? Just because you've been coming to church your whole life doesn't mean, boom, you're going to be a believer. There's another piece of the puzzle. God initiates. He casts generously on all hearts. Fruitful soil, hard rocky ground, thorny, and everything in between. Generously casts. But the reality is, I have to respond. Okay, I have to respond.
And I think that 2,000 years ago, they were seeing Jesus face to face. Did everyone who met Jesus believe in him? No. No.
And yet, we assume that 2,000 years later, you know, like we should get it automatically. No, like they saw him face to face and they didn't automatically get it. Why should we be surprised if faith comes a little slower for some of us than others? That's just how God made it as well. All right. That's God's initiative. That's our response. But what are the obstacles? I would just say, you can put the obstacles to faith in two general categories. Things outside, things inside. Things outside, that's the path. The path, and he says, the enemy steals the word. So that God has a plan for your life, Satan also has a plan. The knowledge that there is one who is opposing you encountering God. You need to know that. Faith is not a cruise ship, it's a battleship. And that's why the section on prayer in the Catechism of the Catholic Church is called the Battle of Prayer. If we grow up thinking that the faith isn't a walk in the park, then yeah, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed, right? Because there's an enemy from without who wants to frustrate you. Another big category of trials from without is suffering. Suffering. That's a big one. Jesus, he talks about the rocky ground, the one who hears the word and has no root. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. When Father Mike Smith talked, he spoke about his experience, 21 years in youth ministry. And he says, we tell our children all the time, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. But he says he's so surprised at how quickly some of our young people leave the faith when some bad happens. And Father Mike wonders, he says, are we telling our kids about suffering? Or we just tell them that God loves you? Because if that's all they hear, then when suffering comes, they're going to say, God has abandoned me. God has abandoned me. Look at what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, the second reading. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. Paul knew suffering was a reality. And he taught the Christians. He said, look, you're suffering. But guess what? God has a bigger plan for you. And the suffering that you experience, yes, it's painful, it's difficult, it's tragic. But God will make it right in the end if you give yourself to him. And yes, even if you have a days of suffering, a month of suffering, a year of suffering, that's nothing compared to what God's going to give you. He's going to make it right in the end. And for those who have faith and believe in him, you're not even going to remember the present sufferings, right? But, you know, we desperately try to make the world safe. But I think parents, I think there's a time when we realize that you cannot make the world completely safe for your children. So what does that mean? If you can't make the world safe for your children, then the job for us who are entrusted with our children is to make them strong, to guide them to relationship with the one who has power, and who invites us in our suffering to trust in his will, just like his son trusted in the Father's will in his suffering, right? So things from without, things from within, the thorns, here's the word, but then worldly anxiety, the lure of riches. They did a study of the human brain and discovered that it's impossible for you to be in a state of worry and a state of gratitude at the same time. That it's impossible for your brain to be in a state of worry and a state of joy at the same time. So for those of us who struggle with anxiety, yes, some of us may have a condition, but I think for a lot of us, we have a habit of worry and anxiety and fear. And the Lord wants to tell you that's not serving you. It's a word, right? It's a thorns. It's thorns that's choking the word of God. That's the invitation in faith. Do we trust God? And look, the best way to learn about that trust, to let go of your anxieties, through another Christian, right? That's why my vision is for us to build robust community. God wants to teach you through another Christian what it means to let go of your worries and to put your trust in your Father who cares. Riches, the lure of riches, he says, it's not even a sin, it's a temptation. It can choke the word. Riches, why is money can be dangerous to the spiritual life? Because money does two things. It gives you security and it gives you status. And when you have those two from money, you're not going to be looking for those from God. Status, you park your car and you're like, oh, I'm doing pretty well. And then security, oh, I have my bank account. I don't have to worry about things. But if you're getting those from money, you're not getting them from the Father. The Father who wants to give you the status as a beloved son and daughter. Your Father who wants to give you security. Peace I leave you. Not as the world gives, I do give it to you. Good. Okay. So, which of those you want to pray with? Which of those you want to pray with? You want to pray with the difficulties from without, that suffering that comes from without, that opposition that comes to your faith. You want to pray with that, Lord, help me. Help me to till that soil, the hard ground, the rocky ground. Or perhaps you need to pray with the thorns. Lord, I have this anxiety. I have this attachment to money, this attachment to status, this attachment to the security that money gives. And I don't know what it is to have your status and to have your security. I invite you to choose one of those. Let us pray that we may be open to the generous love of our Father in heaven. Amen.